Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer any good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We know that if we describe somebody as the salt of the earth, we are paying them a great compliment, for we can rely on them totally to do what is right. Salt was very highly valued at one time. The Greeks called it divine. It was taxed in some areas in Italy because everybody used it, and so it produced a sound income for the state. In the time of Jesus, salt was considered to have the qualities of purity, preservation, and of bringing out the flavor of food, much as we do today. Life would be much more difficult without these properties. Jesus did not say that salt ever lost its saltiness. If we are to be the salt of the earth as Christians, we seek to be pure in speech, deeds, and in thoughts. In other words, we must have high morals in spite of the persistent lowering of standards in nearly all the areas in our world today, in the standards of honesty in the workplace, in marriage and other relationships, in advertisements, in the financial world, and so on. And regrettably, our laws sometimes reflect this lowering of standards of morals. If we speak of these things, we are considered to be old-fashioned, or not with it, or slightly odd. Christ showed us that we must not only beware of the dark, evil influences, but show the light in that his followers endeavor to follow his example. I always think of a joyful Jesus, one who saw hope for the world, who saw the funny side of things, and enjoyed being with friends and joking with them and partying, then in solitude so that he could meet with his Father. Even though he knew what the near future held for him, he looked beyond the agony to life everlasting, not just for himself, but for his faithful followers. Although this world can be cruel, and most of us meet tragedy in our lives, the now is not forever. The past we can do nothing about to alter, but the future is like the salt. It preserves for us forever in joy, if only we follow the light of Christ. Salt adds flavor. Without it, food can be insipid, flavorless, just as life can be without faith in Jesus. For a limited time, we can believe that we are content, perhaps, and feel happy. But never can we feel that glorious contentment if we do not seek his companionship in all circumstances. He speaks of salt losing its flavor or saltiness. Does salt ever lose its qualities? Only when it is burned, and then it is useless. If his followers are failing in their duty in spreading of God's message, and they became barren in his work, no matter how small is the contribution for which they've been asked, then they are as useless as flavorless salt. In the Old Testament, no sacrifice was offered without being sprinkled with salt beforehand, for it has been said that none can present an acceptable sacrifice to God unless it were first sprinkled with the flavor of heavenly wisdom. Jesus first calls the disciples the salt of the earth. Then he proclaims that they are the light of the world. Salt preserves and prevents deterioration, whereas light brings improvement, clarity. Jesus calls himself the light of the world. In the Bible, light always means the presence of God in one way or another. Saul suddenly saw a light from heaven flash about him on the way to Damascus. In the Transfiguration, Jesus was a brilliant figure of light. He and Moses and Elijah were in the presence of the Father, the source of all light. The three disciples were being prepared for the darkness of the death of the one who is the light of the world, and they are to reflect that light. These simple men, unknown in the world except by their friends and neighbors, were to reflect the light of God for all the world to see, a seemingly impossible task, but one which is happening today in spite of the evil all over the world. Good deeds ought to draw attention to God, not to ourselves. Otherwise, it is not Christian goodness. A Christian should not consider what good he has done, but of God who is working through him. Anyone who is baptized is to play a part, like a dewdrop, a tiny object that reflects the light and all the world around it. Or perhaps like a minute crystal, which reflects the light. But when many lighted crystals are put together, they create a brilliant sight, and darkness is dispelled. When we enter the church in Holy Week, we cannot see in the dark until the Paschal candle arrives. Then we can see dimly, only until we each have our candle lit by our neighbor to bring the people out of darkness and into the light. Christ has lighted the lamp, but if it is to continue to burn, it is up to his followers. The lamp is the divine word. Thy word is a lamp for my feet, as we say in Psalm 119. They who light this lamp are the Holy Trinity. Let your light shine before men. Jesus exhorts the apostles to preach with courage, not hiding their faith under a bushel or corn measure. There is a tendency to live a simple and undemanding way of the life of faith, and if we keep the faith so close that it is hidden, or by our way of life or behavior, it is not apparent, then we are not fulfilling our duty as Christians. Neither are we benefiting ourselves. This hidden faith does not mean that it does not exist, but it is static, it is not growing, and it can be a stumbling block to others. Christ encourages us to show the light of faith to our neighbor by our good words and deeds, by following his example. The goal of a good preacher is neither the pleasure of the speaker nor the listener, but it is for the glory of God, the source of true light.